Welcome to the Secrets of High Demand Coaches podcast, where I interview some of the best coaches in the business to find their secrets and share them with the world. I'm Scott Rittheimer, founder and CEO of Scale Architects, and we help founders and leaders find the right coach at the right time so they can achieve the predictable success they deserve. And a huge part of that is helping great coaches do great work that creates enormous demand for their services with way less effort. If you're a high demand coach, I'd absolutely love to share your story and expertise as well. So stick around to the end of the show and we'll reveal how you can be our next guest in 15 to 20 minutes. Let's go. Hello, hello, and welcome. Welcome once again to the Secrets of the High Demand Coach podcast. And I am here with yet another high demand coach and advisor, and that is Alex Little. Now, Alex is not your stereotypical finance and accounting nerd, and that's a wonderful thing. He brings an entrepreneurial mindset and can look at the big picture and then get all the way down into the weeds of a problem. He can pull you in with a smile and a joke, and these pair well with his talent for simplifying financial situations to make you comfortable in overcoming the obstacles in front of you. Now, being taught from a young age that business ownership and real estate were the keys to building wealth, Alex has invested his time and energy into gaining wisdom and in various business topics and ventures. Now, this led Alex to founding Little CFO Services, which we'll talk about here in just a moment, where he provides his clients with a proactive approach to strategic financial planning through data-based decisions and fractional CFO advisory, which are tremendous, tremendous needs in the entrepreneurial community. Alex, so excited to have you here. I wondered if you could just add a little color to this story for us. What were you doing before starting Little CFO Services, and how'd you ultimately decide to make the leap?
Yeah, I actually tell people I was a recovering accountant. You know, most of my career, I was an accountant, really good at it, but I felt like it wasn't super exciting for me, more of like the finance and operations type of deal. So I switched into that, you know, several years ago in my career. I was doing pretty well, and I've done like side businesses here and there, because of the whole, you know, entrepreneur mindset. And moving back to Florida, I actually got laid off 2 weeks before I moved back here. Long story, but it was another reminder that you're never too important to be let go. And the whole, like, you know, if you really want to be wealthy, you have to build a business for yourself. I was doing a business while I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do, basically my next step, doing the financial modeling for businesses. And I found a lot of small business owners that they knew they needed a financial model or a cash flow model or something. Well, like, for instance, there was one company that was going on Shark Tank that needed the financial model, but they didn't really know how to use it or utilize it in their business. They knew, like, yeah, I need to be using this and it's important. They didn't know really how to, like, what tools to use along with it and how to utilize it in their business to actually make decisions off of. And, you know, that wasn't really my role. I was just there to build the model, not really teach them in depth how to use it. But I just kept on finding that problem. So I was reaching out to a bunch of fractional CFOs and FP&A, you know, people on LinkedIn that I knew. And they all just pushed me to start my own, you know, fractional CFO firm. And here I am.
Wow. So that's actually where I want to start, is this idea of a financial model. So just back to basics for us. What is a financial model and how should you use it for your business?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's different types. I think the one and most basic one, or the one that I start most clients on, is the cash flow forecasting model. And, you know, all those, the spreadsheets, they look intimidating, but in reality, the top section, you just have like the dates, like that you might track it a weekly or monthly or what, or daily if the cash is really that strict. And then the bank balance. And below that, you have all the cash inflows. Like, when do you expect to get paid by your clients for each deal, for each invoice and whatnot? And then below that, you have all the cash going out of your business. Not really, it makes you think about all the expenses that you have. Like, oh, there's payroll, and you know, you have a couple of main bills you may think of. But when you really get in depth and start looking through your financials, you might see like, oh, I'm paying for 7 Zoom subscriptions, but I only have 5 employees. Like, I forgot to cancel 2, you know? So it's a good exercise just to go through it, because you'll find a lot of money that's going out of your business that you didn't really realize. But also it helps you get a better peace of mind and understanding that I know exactly where theoretically, you know, my cash is going to be at in, you know, 13 weeks or 4 days, you know. Then that's really what keeps most business owners up at night, is, am I going to run out of cash in 1 month or 2 months, or can I afford to bring on a new employee? We can use that model to build that in and see, okay, if you have an additional, you know, 5 grand here, your payroll every 2 weeks, like, do you run out of money in 2 months or not? So I think that's really the main basic model that I would start off on, and most clients come to me really needing.
Yeah. And one of the things that I love to hear your thoughts on, actually, is what does that do? Even if the news is bad, right? What does that do for the entrepreneur in terms of confidence or clarity? Because I know some folks are reticent to do it because they're just worried about what the numbers are actually going to say. So what would you say to someone in that situation?
The fear of the unknown is always going to be worse than just knowing what your problem is. You can't really make good decisions without good data. And knowing where you're at, you know exactly how much expense you have to cut, or know how like much revenue you have to go out and get. And it really gives you clarity of, this is what my goals are. Like, you can't really build good KPIs if you don't know like what your goal is, or what you're trying to obtain. Because, you know, I'd be like, oh, well, just go get more sales. Well, how many more sales should that quarter be? Like, what are we going for? Well, if you don't know where your financial position is, then who knows? You know, just do more. You know, that's not really helpful advice, or, you know, a good way to look at where your path should be to get there.
Yeah. One of the patterns I've noticed is folks, especially when they have success early in the process, right? They get a couple big wins right out of the gate. They get some win behind their back, and they're just good at selling. That they tend to cruise through the first kind of period. We won't actually name a specific time range, but they don't build the discipline of watching their cash flows because they don't necessarily have to early on. They're able to sell enough, and it seems like it works its way out until it doesn't. So when someone is, you know, kind of, if they see this as a numbers game, right? Bank account's low, I'm just going to go sell something. Is that a right mentality or is it a wrong one?
Both, I would say, because, you know, the tide lifts all boats. Like, more revenue, more money can usually fix most problems in reality. However, if you want to be efficient, and when times are bad, like a big recession that we're in and going into more, when that, you know, tide goes out, you see the holes in everyone's boats. That's where, like, you know, things get really more stingy, and you really need to like ramp down on, do you have good business fundamentals in your business? And, you know, getting more revenue and just go getting more sales, that's great. You can usually throw money at problems to solve them. But if you really want to maximize your return on investment and make the most out of it and like be able to scale the most, you need to build those good fundamentals and like just having the processes up. Because, you know, just making more money and figuring out as it goes, you know, don't have any processes or, you know, SOPs or anything set up for your business, you're going to get a ways, but you can't scale that way. You can't bring on team members and tell them how these processes should go, or really sell your business for a lot when, you know, you have a good top line, but like you have tons of expenses and you're just wasting money here and there. Like, you could do so much, you just clean things up. Efficiency is important too.
So one of the challenges that I know entrepreneurs have when it gets hard, right? So whether it's in the beginning or whether it's a couple years down the road, when they start feeling the pinch in profitability, they started to recognize, I don't have all the answers here. I need to go find someone who can help. And one of the most common acquisitions, if you will, is to go out and find someone who understands the numbers. And you and I both know that not all financial professionals are created equal. Not all of them speak entrepreneur. So what are some of the, maybe what are some of the frustrations that you see that clients of yours have had with other financial professionals? And how should someone go about looking to make sure that they're finding the right person?
Yeah, I think a lot of it comes down to just misaligned expectations. People think often that their CPA or bookkeeper can also do, you know, forecasting and tax work and all that stuff. Like that, a lot of people come to me saying, oh, you're a fractional CFO. It means you can do my taxes and my accounting too. Those are three different roles. Accounting and finance are two sides of the same coin. Accounting is everything that's already happening that we're just trying to figure out how to categorize it correctly and make sure it's taxed appropriately and whatnot. Finance is, you know, it's going towards your goals in the future. Your goals are in the future, and basically my role as a fractional CFO is to help illuminate the path of how we get there. That's all the forecasting and strategic, how should we actually deploy the revenue that we have, whereas accounting is all like, once it's already in the door, how do we, categorize that stuff? That's kind of the first thing. I find that when it comes to finance and accounting, bookkeeper is usually like your first most important hire. You have to know exactly what you're doing, where you're at financially. Like I can't do my fractional CFO work if the books are just a dumpster fire, because I can't give you good advice if I have no idea where you're actually at or how you're performing. So it's always, it starts with a good bookkeeper. And then the next role often is a fractional CFO before that controller role. That's usually where I see kind of the hiring, sequence. Bookkeeper first, and then a fractional CFO that basically, just to kind of do the explanation real quick, fractional CFO is that high-level strategy in finance, but for multiple small businesses for a fraction of the cost, because most businesses in the realm that I play in, they're making money, they're getting to be like big boys and girls as far as their business is concerned, but they're not making so much money and they can afford a $300,000 a year in a CFO. So all the fractionals are great to where you get that level of experience and understanding, but for a fraction of what it would cost for a full-time one. Anyways, I hope that answered the question.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And one of the things that you even mentioned earlier in this call and that I saw as I was doing some research is this idea of like, how can I afford it? And you spoke to it a little bit more on the cash flow side of things, but particularly around employees. They tend to be one of our largest expenses early on for lots of businesses, especially service-based businesses. And they're not kind of one-time purchases. You bring an employee on and you have to afford them for a really long time. What are some questions that folks should be asking before they set out on trying to hire somebody?
Yeah. Well, one is, can I afford them? Most people do their cash flow forecasting on the back of a napkin. It's, what is my bank account right now? How much expenses do I think I'm going to have next month or so? Okay, that's where I think my bank's going to be. And that's all as far as it goes. So first off is just looking at, like, if I add in a payroll employee, how far do I go before I run out of money if they don't produce anything extra? And then you also have to remember that there is a ramp up period. They're not going to be making X amount of revenue, right out the gate. There's a three, four, sometimes 6 month ramp up period before they're actually performing as like a normal full time employee. Just from the math and financial perspective, just the expectations again is just knowing that, like, can you afford them? And if they actually perform well, because you never know if they're going to be a good employee or not, it's a gamble. It's going to take a little while before you start seeing the returns. And can you afford that scale up before they're fully utilized?
Yeah. I love that. I love that. Now, that kind of sets the stage. So let's say we've got an entrepreneur, they're committed to understanding and managing their cash flows. They've got the right help coming in and they're growing, right? Things are going well. And then at some point they start bumping up against what feel like these kind of invisible barriers, right? They can't put their finger on it. They don't know what it is. They're trying to make their first million or their first 10 million. What have you found are some of the primary barriers that entrepreneurs are facing in that window?
Usually it comes down to processes, like how are they actually performing the services or things in their business? There was one client I had that was a pool maintenance construction company, and one day a week, the entire day on Fridays, his service manager was doing inventory because they didn't have like an automated system or anything like that to track it. An entire day of that person's week that was just on like figuring out what inventory they had, what they used on clients and stuff like that. And that's like humongous waste of that person's time. It's a little bit of technology and then a lot of just thinking through how are you doing business and is that the best way to actually utilize the resources that you have? Most of the time, the scaling problems are around that. You know, sometimes it's funding, like we just need the time to grow, to have enough funds unless we can get an influx of capital through, you know, debt or equity to expand. But most of the time, there's some type of process that's holding you back. Like you have capacity that you just don't know about because your processes are too manual or you're relying on some specific thing that could go out at any moment. There's no redundancy or anything. So that's usually what I want to have my clients look at is like, okay, let's look at each section of your business. Obviously, I usually start with the financial side, like AR, AP, stuff like that. You have an automated system to collect on the invoices. Are you sending out invoices automatically? Stuff like that, to where people usually, once they set up a process, they'll think about it again. Like, oh, that was the best decision at the time, but they never revisit. Is that still the best way to go about doing things? Yeah. Same thing like credit cards, for instance. I know I'm getting off topic, but credit cards, people usually say, like, find the credit card processor and they just accept, like, thousands of credit card, you know, processing fees is just the cost of doing business. And in years, they haven't looked at, is there a better credit card processor that I could use that's cheaper or one that I could pass off, you know, surcharge the customers those fees. There's one of my clients, well, actually most of my clients, I usually find like 25 grand plus in cost savings just in the credit card, you know, fees line within the first month of working together, just because had you taken a look at what other processors there are and like what other things you could do there. It's a lot of easy wins that people just need to take a step back and is this process that we have, is that the best way of doing things?
Yeah. And I've found that a lot of, again, going back to the revenue question, a lot of kind of visionary entrepreneurs will find it easier to focus on going out and selling the next thing or creating the next thing. They don't get as jazzed about, you know, savings, but a dollar of revenue and a dollar of savings are not the same thing. What's the difference between the two?
Well, I mean, like usually like a dollar of, you know, revenue still has, you know, 60% or so, you know, in cost of goods sold or, you know, the expenses that go towards it. Like your profit margin, most businesses is anywhere from 15 to 25%, you know, 25% is like really where most businesses shoot for. Every dollar of savings is really just giving you a lot more back that you didn't have to go out and get more, you know, more revenue to begin with. I'm explaining it very badly. Basically, that it's harder to go get one more dollar of revenue than find a dollar of cost savings. It's something you're already spending. You could figure out either how to spend better with how you're utilizing your funds, or just spending less and still maintain the same amount.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So this question I like to ask all my guests, and it's this: what is the biggest secret you wish wasn't a secret at all? What's that one thing you wish everybody watching or listening today knew?
Yeah, that's actually what I did my LinkedIn post on today. Opportunity cost. I find way too many people that they look at a problem and, well, if I did this or some of my team did this themselves, how much money could I save? Like I could just, for instance, a client, he was doing all the admin and accounting work himself. And, you know, he was saving a few thousand over, you know, 4 months or something like that. But then when I had a conversation with him, he was like, well, if I had all that on my plate, I could go out there and probably get, you know, another $1 million in new revenue if I just had the time to go do that. People don't take a step back and think about that with most decisions that they make. They just see, well, if I were to pay someone else to do this, it costs, you know, a few thousand dollars. They don't think of, well, if I paid someone to do that, not only am I getting a more professional and better expert, you know, service, but also now that frees me up my time to do something that only I can do. Like, you know, accountant can't go and grow your business for you. That's what, if you know your business better than anyone else, your time is way more valuable than that accountant's time. Yeah. And people don't really think about the actual dollar figure that they put on their time. They just think of like what the cost settings is and the opportunity cost, what you could be doing that you're not doing because you're doing something else that needs to be thought of way more in business.
It is so true. I just got off a call with a client earlier today, a coaching call, and I was talking about just a strategy that they had implemented that he had known to do for about a year and had just been putting off. And they started doing it, and it was just like the taps opened, you know. And I asked them, I was like, that one, we celebrate because it's like we've got it going now. But the second question was like, how much did you lose by not doing this 6 months ago when you knew that you could do it? And he just shook his head, a lot. You know, it's
not to think about it, because I would have just been outsourcing this and then doing sales instead. You know, just think of how further I would be instead of trying to do it all myself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. One more question before you, and then I want to make sure folks know how they can get in touch with you. So before we get there, though, I'm going to have you take off your CFO hat, put on your CEO hat, and talk to us. What's the next stage of growth look like for you and your business, and what challenge will you have to overcome to get there?
Yeah, so the next stage is I'm looking to acquire an accounting firm. I'm trying to build out that side of my business. I know that I thought I gave, like, walked away from the accounting world a long time ago, but the technology that's come out in the last 2 years, especially with AI, has made it possible to give a better, more high value product when it comes to what an accountant gives their client, and for, you know, 30 to 50% more efficient, cheaper cost for me. So going out there, acquiring a firm, and most of the firms that are out there to acquire are like 60-year-old CPAs who've been doing stuff like on paper for the past 40 years. So like the next like problem I'll have to deal with is, you know, most of those great deals are going to be old school way of thinking, no technology. It's in an office and taking that virtual and inputting all my firm's technology to really bring it into, you know, 21st century. It's going to be the next fun stress.
Challenging, but exciting. I love it. Now, folks are listening to this, and they're like, finally, someone who understands me and understands numbers. And they want to know more about the work that you do, potentially even be able to hire you. How can they find more out, and where can they find you?
Yeah, you can go to littlecfoservices.com or find me on LinkedIn, which is where I'm most active, Alex Little on LinkedIn. And that's where I post content Monday through Friday. And I try to, you know, actually teach stuff on LinkedIn that people can actually use and not just try and sell my services every post, you know. So I try to be giving something valuable away every day in there.
Fantastic. Well, Alex, thank you so much for being here. Just an honor having you. And for those watching and listening, you know your time and attention mean the world to us. I hope you got as much out of this conversation as I know I did, and I cannot wait to see you next time. Take care. Scott Ritzheimer here. Thank you so much for listening to the Secrets of High Demand Coaches podcast. If you are a successful coach, consultant, or advisor who's built a strong book of business and would like to be on the program, please visit go.scalearchitects.com. And if you got something out of this interview, would you share this episode on social media and just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on the socials? If you know someone who'd be a great guest, you can tag them on social media to let them know about the show. And make sure you include the hashtag High Demand Coaching. I love seeing your posts. I love seeing your guest suggestions. Thank you so much. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss any of those episodes, go ahead and subscribe now. Your thumbs up, your ratings, your reviews, they go a long way to help us promote the show, and they mean a lot to me and my team. If you want to know more, you can go to our website, www.scalearchitects.com, or you can follow me or the company on LinkedIn, Facebook, or Instagram. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.